Before we get into our reading from Ruth today, just a little bit of background. We're starting our series in the book of Ruth 4 weeks now, and I'm so excited to be kicking off our time in the book of Ruth. Ruth is a brief, powerful book. It's only 4 chapters long, tucked into the first part of the Hebrew Scriptures. And Ruth is a book that centers on questions of what it means to find ourselves in a new place, how we can forge relationships of belonging with those who think differently than us, how we see God's steadfast love playing out in our lives, and how we can shine the light of God's love to all whom we meet. It's the story of identity and what it means to be a citizen of a nation caring for our neighbors who have recently migrated to our community. It's a story of chosen family and what it means to be knit together in relationships with people to whom we may or may not be related. It's a story of survival and grief and famine and poverty. It's a story of strong female companionship and the ways we can find God's faithfulness in it all. And I think we'll see over these next 4 weeks that even though the story takes place approximately 3,000 years ago, there's so much that we can find in it that can enrich our faith and our lives together as well. So this is a reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. Her 2 sons took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her 2 sons or her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had had consideration for his people and had given them food. So she set out from that place where she had been living, she and her 2 daughters-in-law. And they went on their way back to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her 2 daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the 2 of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the days when the judges ruled, the book of Ruth starts out. This may not seem like a big introduction, but it tells us a lot about this time in just a few words. The time when the judges ruled was just before Israel was ruled by a monarchy. So before King David, before King Solomon, before any of that. Moses delivers God's people from slavery into freedom. In the next generation, Joshua takes up the mantle and leads them into the promised land. Then when Joshua and his generation pass on, God's people descend into chaos. This is when tribal leaders or military leaders of the day named judges were called upon to lead. So when we talk of judges, they aren't necessarily the kind of legal authority judge that we think of in our modern day. But the main thing to remember about this time is that it is a time of deep instability and violence and danger, especially for women. And that's going to be important for us as we read, because it's into the context into which we read this story about two women, Ruth and Naomi, who are trying to navigate this world together. The story begins with a family of four, Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They move from Bethlehem, where there's a famine, all the way over to Moab. This was a move that had to have been out of desperation, because no one in their right mind would willingly move to Moab, especially from Judah. The question that Jesus faces in the Gospels, can anything good come from Nazareth, could also be thought of from Moab. There's a disdain for the area. So for a family to move away from Judah into Moab had to have been out of desperation. Mahlon and Chilion both become married to Moabite women. Orpah, not Oprah, it's a common misconception we read as Oprah, Orpah and Ruth. And though this was a vulnerable time for women, their physical and social safety came through proximity to men. So Naomi and Ruth and Orpah were physically and socially protected by the men in their lives, husbands and sons. And then in a matter of five verses, all the men have died. They've all lost their husbands. Naomi has lost her two sons. In Naomi's mind, they all go their separate ways from there. That would be the prudent thing to do. It wouldn't make sense to do anything else. But Ruth refuses. Ruth clings to her. This is the same word that's used for the kind of clinging in the beginning of Genesis, where we hear a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. It's that same faithfulness and steadfastness. It's that joining together of two people, an expression of unwavering faithfulness that fuses these two women together. Verses 16 and 17 are perhaps verses that may have sounded familiar from Ruth. It's Ruth's expression of devotion and faithfulness to Naomi. Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. There's something that happens here with the language that may not stick out to us when we read it in English, but it has huge implications for Ruth and Naomi. So in the Hebrew language which this text was originally written in, the word for God is the word Elohim. And that's distinguished from the proper name, the noun for the God of Israel, which is Yahweh. Elohim is the word that means God. Yahweh is the God of Israel. So when Ruth says, your people shall be my people and your God, my God, It's this word Elohim. One of the things that separated the people of Israel from the people of Moab was worship of different gods. So this confession of Ruth, this expression of faithfulness that your God will be my God, is one of incredible intimacy. One verse later, she says, "May the Lord do thus to me and more as well." It's the first time that she names Yahweh as her God, that she claims the God of Israel as her own. She's leaving behind the God she knew in Moab and is clinging to Yahweh as her God as well. It's this kind of steadfast faithfulness that we see on display in Ruth. And all week it has struck me what a powerful promise this is to read as we celebrate and remember All Saints' Day. It's the day where we remember God's family knit together in water and the word of baptism we got to do for little Oliver this morning. And as we prepare to name all those who've been baptized into faith in this community in the last year. It's also a day where we remember those who have died, those who are dear to us, who have shown us God's steadfast love and faithfulness through the years. There's a word in Hebrew for this steadfast love and faithfulness. It's the word hesed. Sometimes it's spelled with a C at the beginning, so you can get that Hebrew in the back of your throat there, hesed. It's a word that shows up 124 times in the Hebrew scriptures, talking about steadfastness, faithfulness, love that clings to one another, love whose strength is beyond anything. It may show up 124 times in the scriptures, but we know it shows up far more often in our lives together, this steadfastness and faithfulness in relationships with those we love. A steadfastness and faithfulness that can outlast any famine or hardship, even death. Of the 124 times this word is spoken in Scripture, 113 of those is used to describe God. Think of the Psalms, right? Give thanks to the Lord. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. God's hesed endures forever. It's that enduring, steadfast, and ever faithful love that we celebrate today in reading the first chapter of Ruth. It's that steadfast, enduring, and ever faithful love that we celebrate as we name and remember those who have been brought into God's family through baptism, and as we name and remember those who now rest from their labors with all the saints in light. And it's that enduring, steadfast, and ever faithful love of God that continues to be our guide as a community of faith gathered and sent for the sake of the gospel. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.